What would you do?
Stop war.
Okay, that's an important one. What would you do? Okay, stop evil. That would be good. Yeah, you two guys, one at a time. Jada first. Change the size of elephants so you could keep them as pets. Okay, yes. Next to Jada, yeah. Change the gap between the rich and the poor. Okay, those are really good things. Some of you might, your favorite thing might be the elephant one. I don't know. So we've been talking during Advent about the fact that Jesus came to change the world. And we've been talking about the people that cooperated with God. George, you can turn me down even more. I can talk louder. We've been talking about the people who cooperated with God to help change the world. And we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist and brought that baby into the world to be a prophet, to prepare the way for Jesus. And we talked about Joseph, who got his information on a need-to-know basis in order to keep Jesus safe. And we talked about Mary, who actually brought Jesus into the world. They helped the world to change. Today we're talking about the ultimate world changer of all time. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ today. We believe that Jesus changed the course of human history. We believe that he changed everything. And we believe that he still wants to change the world today. And we are going to look at how Jesus, directed by the Father and filled with the Holy Spirit, changed the world forever. And we're going to look at four ways that he did that. There's more, but we're going to look at these four and kind of see what he did. Jesus changed the world through his incarnation. And that's a word that means Jesus came as a person. He came to be here with us as a person. He changed the world through his ministry, through the things he did. He talked about a lot of things. He taught. He served people. Through his death, he changed the world. And through his resurrection, he changed the world. So those are the things that we're going to talk about. Okay, to those 12 and younger, who do I have who's 12 and younger here? Okay. Have you ever said to your parents, you just don't understand, or you don't understand how I feel? Anybody said that if you're under 12? You can raise your hand higher than that. It's okay. Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah, because sometimes it seems like your parents really don't get it, right? Right? Yeah. I remember saying that. I remember my kids saying it. And you know what? My grandchildren say it too. Grandpa, you don't understand. We all need to be understood. It's a basic human need. We need to know that people can feel what we're feeling and they can share that with us. It's called empathy. Some people are pretty developed as far as empathy. Some not so much. But here's the good news. Jesus came as a person so he can feel what we feel. We can share our feelings with Jesus. He understands. This is from the letter to the Hebrews. It says, now that we know that we have Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. So that's what we celebrate when we celebrate the incarnation. Jesus came, and he felt everything. He felt sadness. He felt pain. He felt grief. Anything that we can feel, he felt. I don't know if you remember the story of Jesus with Lazarus. When his friend died, even though he knew he was going to heal, he was going to raise him from the dead, what did Jesus do? He wept. Jesus felt it all. Well, how do you think he felt when he heard his disciples arguing about who was the greatest? How do you feel about that? Anybody? Frustrated, probably. Have you ever felt frustrated? Jesus knows what that's like. So I like the way this translation puts it. We can walk right up to him. We can walk right. We don't have to be afraid to come near God Because God knows what it's like to be us. And we can come right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. His mercy, his grace, his love, his truth, all those things. When I first realized that, it changed my world. And it changes my world every day. Because I have a God who I can walk right up to. And so do you. He wants to be that for all of us. And Jesus came as a person so we could have that kind of God. That's the first way that Jesus changed the world. The second way is his ministry made it so that we could see and imitate God. Jesus was great at show and tell. Anybody like to play show and tell? Do show and tell at school? Anybody do that? Nobody? Yeah, some people. Okay, do show and tell. What was something you brought to show and tell? Anybody got something that they brought to show and tell that they can tell us about? What'd you bring? You brought your elephant? We're on the elephant thing today. Yes. Your what? Your Barbie. Okay. You know, we like to show and tell things that are important to us, right? Well, Jesus showed the character of God and the activity of God. He did show and tell while he was here. So if we want to answer the question, what's God like? We can look at Jesus. If we want to answer the question, what does God do? We look at Jesus. We can see the character of God and the activity of God by looking. In the Gospel of John, Philip, who was one of Jesus' friends, he says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. That's all we need. And Jesus answered, I have been with you a long time now. Do you still not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So why do you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you don't come from me, but the Father lives in me and does his own work. So Jesus was saying, Philip, when you look at me, you see God. You don't need anything more than that. So we could see God. In John, a little bit later in that same passage, he says, believe in me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or believe because of the miracles I've done. I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it for you so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. So Jesus was telling Philip, when you see what I do, you see what the Father is all about. And guess what? You're going to do it too. And you're going to do even greater things, more things, because there's more of you. In John 5, Jesus says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing and in the same way. So if we want to see what the Father does and what he's about, we can look at Jesus. And this is really important because we need a model, don't we? We need somebody to look at to show us how to live. You know, we can look at a lot of different people. And I won't name any names, but some of us look at celebrities and we say, well, I'm going to model my life after that person. That might not be a good idea. Jesus is the model. He is the one that shows us how to live. The healthy kind of life that God designed for us. And that will change your world. When you look at Jesus and you imitate what he is. So his ministry made it so we could see and imitate God. That's the second thing. The third thing, his death made it so we can be free from the fear of death. We're afraid. Most human beings would say that's the thing they're most afraid of. And we are afraid because the life I have in this body is going to end sometime. And the older I get, the more I think about that. I didn't think about it so much when I was 20. Or 30. I'm leaning on 60. And I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be like. But Jesus died for our sins, so we don't have to fear physical death. It'll be more like a transition, a change from one kind of life to another. And it's going to be a good one. It'll be a good transition. You ever have somebody tell you, I have a surprise for you, and it's really good? Yeah, but I want to know what it is. Well, this is a surprise that we don't get to know that much about, but we believe God that it's a good one. So we don't need to fear physical death, and we don't need to fear the other kind of death, dying to what we want. You ever have to, you feel like you have to give up what you want for other people? Anybody? Yeah, we have to do that a lot. And we don't have to fear that either. Jesus showed us how to do that. But let's talk about the physical death first. In Hebrews 2, since these children, us, are people with physical bodies, Jesus himself became like them. He did this so that by dying, he could destroy the one who has the power of death, the devil, and free those who were like slaves all of their lives because of their fear of death. That's a powerful thing, to be so afraid of death that you're enslaved. And we don't have to do that because it's just a transition. That changed my world. It changes a lot of people's worlds to know that you don't have to fear that. Matthew 20:28 talks about the other kind of way that we have to die, that dying to what we want thing, dying to self. It says, in the same way the Son of Man did not come to be served, he came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people. I remember asking my kids when they were little to give some of their toys away at Christmas time because they were going to get new ones. Do you think they were happy about that? Especially the first couple of times that we did it. They were not happy because they were afraid that they wouldn't have enough. You ever afraid to share or be generous because you're afraid you won't have enough? Anybody? Raise your hand. If you've ever been afraid. Yeah, I have been. I've been afraid to give some of what I have away because I was afraid I wouldn't have enough. That is a fear I don't need to have. Jesus showed us you can give away everything and still have all the good things that God wants to give us. So we don't need to be afraid of that. Boy, that's a life changer. There's so much freedom in being generous. Doesn't it feel good to give? It really, really does. So, Jesus changed our life in that way. We don't have to fear physical death. We don't have to fear the death of giving stuff up. We don't have to fear being generous. That's a beautiful thing. The last thing, his resurrection made it so that those who believe in him can have hope and power. When we look at the world, it's easy to feel hopeless and say we've got no power to change anything. There was a line in the song that Peter just sang. It says, now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. It's easy to feel powerless, like we can't change anything, you know? There are a lot of people I know who don't vote, because they feel like it doesn't make a difference. And I understand that feeling. There are a lot of people who won't try to change things because they feel like they can't. But Jesus says that we can have hope. We can have hope. And we can have power. Power to change. In 1 Corinthians, it says, 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has truly been raised from the dead, the first one, and proof that all who sleep in death will also be raised. Death has come because of what one man did, but the rising from the death also comes because of one man. In Adam, all of us die. In the same way, in Christ, all of us will be made alive again, but everyone will be raised to life in the right order. Christ was first to be raised. When he comes again, those who belong to him will be raised to life. So I have hope that I'm going to be raised from the dead. And when Jesus comes and does that, everything that's wrong with this world will be made right. Everything. And that's something to look forward to. Or you may say, well, that's fine for then. But what about now? Well, Jesus took care of that too. We live in the power of the resurrection right now. I love this passage in Ephesians 1. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we who are Christ's have been given to him. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven. Did you hear that? The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead is available to help those who believe in him. I want you to think, you don't have to say it out loud, I want you to think of something that you need help with that you don't think can change. Just think about that for a minute. Something that would take power beyond what you have for you. I've got lots of those things. Well, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to change that. You got to sit with that one for a minute. Now, I'm not saying God will give you everything you want. But I'm saying his power is available to get done what he wants to get done through you. When I need help, I can ask God to help me with that power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power. And that changes the world. I am not the same person that I was in 1977. That's when I started following Jesus. Now, you may know me and say, wow, man, you must have really been bad then. But I've improved. I've grown. I've matured. Jesus has helped me. And I got a long way to go. But I see evidence of that power, of that resurrection power working in me. And I bet you've seen it in you too. So there is hope and power in the resurrection. The resurrection changed the world to give us hope and to give us power. And there is a sequel to this story, better than the movie. There's another line near the end of the song, Waiting on the World to Change. It says, one day our generation is going to rule the population, so we keep on waiting for the world to change. Well, Jesus is going to come back and rule the population. And we get to be part of that. He'll finish the work, but we're carrying it on right now. So again, we're not waiting passively. We're not sitting on the couch waiting, right? We're working with Jesus as we wait. And that's what this season reminds me of. That yes, there's brokenness in this world. But we can change the world. We can. Through the power of Jesus, as long as we cooperate with him. And really, that's what I want to suggest that we focus on. I wrote a couple of things down that I'm going to do this week, that I'm going to think about, I'm going to pray about, and I want to invite you into that. You might have something different. That's fine. But this is what I'm going to do. I said, this week, I'm going to go to our approachable God on a daily, hourly basis, if needed, and ask for mercy, grace, and help. I'm going to remember that God is an approachable God, that he came and he can relate to who I am. He can relate to my feelings. And I'm going to take advantage of that. This week, I'm going to practice show and tell. I'm going to practice talking about God's love and truth, and I'm going to practice showing it. And I'm going to see what kind of difference that makes in my week. This week, I'm going to look for ways to put the needs of other people ahead of my own. I'm going to look for ways to be generous. And there'll probably be some opportunity to do that this week, but not just this week, right? And this week, I want to thank God daily for the hope and power of the resurrection. I'm going to ask him to show me how to build my hope in him and how to use the power of the resurrection for his purposes. So those are some thoughts, some suggestions for you. As you celebrate Christmas, I pray that you'll celebrate the power of God's change, the change that Jesus brought into this world, and the change that he invites us all into to cooperate with him in bringing. I'd like to pray right now and ask God to help us with that. Father, we thank you for this Christmas season and for the opportunity to celebrate the change that Jesus brings to our world. Help us to embrace the ways that you're asking us to help bring that change in our own lives and the lives of our families, friends, and everyone we meet. We give you our thanks and our love. Amen.